Thanks, Tom. Good to be with you guys again. Our family is going to be away for 3 weeks, so this is going to be the last time in a little bit, so glad we can share with you. And happy birthday again, Heidi. We've already enjoyed some time this morning just sharing birthday presents and looking forward to more time with you today. Okay, so as Tony said, we are on this series about the gifts of the Spirit. And I think for me, just what's really important, and I think week on week, it's not just us here. And I think that's what's so amazing about the gifts of the Spirit is actually we can know that God's presence is here. And through the gifts, God can speak to us in a number of different ways. Isn't that great that it's not just about us coming and whoever's here, it's just whatever gift they have and whatever they want to say. We can actually hear from God when we meet together and be blessed by Him, which is really the amazing gifts of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is what they can do for the church. All right, so a little bit of background then. For those of you that maybe haven't been here for a few weeks, the focus is the Holy Spirit, and Tony gave a really good introduction a little while ago about who the Holy Spirit is and His ministry. I then spoke a few weeks back around the fact that to each one is given a gift. Do you guys remember that? To each one, Paul says. So it means that if you're in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, He will give each of us a gift. And it was for the body. So I think what I loved about what Paul says is that it's for the good of the church. So if God has got something that's for our good, and we say no thanks, we're the worse off, right? Okay, so really this is an opportunity for us to press in and find out what God says about these gifts that are for us and for the benefit of the church. Okay, so that's some background. And then I think just a bit of a precursor to this preach is that if any of you have been in the church for a while, you'll know that tongues is quite contentious. Different churches believe different things about speaking in tongues. And even within the Pentecostal circle, some will say going like this and others will say it's like. What I encourage us to do is to preach. We're going to be going to the Word. And what I want to encourage us to do is to strive for unity in this body. Okay. And so to start, I want to read Ephesians 4, verse 3 to 4, just to kind of set the scene. This is what it says. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Okay, so he's saying that we must make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit. Okay, so let's do that. There are going to be people around this room that have got different views to one another, okay, different experiences to one another when it comes to tongues, but that's okay. Okay, let's make sure that we put love at the center and make sure that we love each other well and don't get into tiffs about these things. All right, okay. All right, so what I'm going to be now focusing on is tongues in the early church as a start, and then we're going to be going into 1 Corinthians and seeing what Paul has to say about that. So what I'd like us to do to start is I'm going to ask you to do some work around your tables. Stephen, if I can ask you here just to distribute to about 5 tables this side. Thanks, Annika. Okay. Tones, can you distribute to the middle here, and Riley, can you give to the guys starting at the back? All right, so we're going to be basically looking at 3 different passages in the New Testament, all from Acts. The guys this side, you're going to be focusing on the first coming of the Holy Spirit with the disciples when they were in the upper room, and just digging into that passage a little bit. You're going to have 5 minutes, guys, just to have a quick look, a little discussion around your tables. And then I'm going to be asking for some feedback, okay? The group in the middle here, you guys are focusing on a passage around Peter and Cornelius and the speaking of tongues that happened at that time. And you guys at the back, it's Paul and the Ephesians. And there's something happened there around speaking in tongues, and I want you guys to look at that. And there are 4 questions. The first one, what was happening at the time? So what was the context that was before this event? Then who spoke in tongues? The third one, how did they receive the gift? Was anything interesting about how they received that gift? And was that the only thing that happened? Was it just gifts of tongues, or was there something else that happened at the same time? All right, so I'm going to sit down and relax a bit while you guys do some work. All right, guys, that's it. That's it. Okay, so from this group on the left side here, I want one of you who's brave enough to answer the first question. Can I get a hands up from someone about what was happening at the time in Acts 2? Anyone going to give a go? Otherwise, I'm going to start picking on you. Okay, there we go. Stephen, good.
They were staying in Jerusalem waiting for Jesus' promise that they would be baptized in the Spirit.
Cool. And were they together? Was it like just one or two guys hanging out? Do you know roughly how many people were there? Hey, 120 people hanging out waiting. Okay, so that's the context. Thank you. This group here, next one. So who spoke in tongues? All of them, all 120. Okay, yeah, all 120. Okay, that's interesting. All right, thank you. Okay, this group here, how did they receive the gift?
The Holy Spirit enabled it.
Okay, so there was a filling of the Holy Spirit. There was something quite supernatural there, right? Okay, cool. All right, so to ask this group at the back here, was the only thing that happened speaking in tongues, or was there other...
Get there. We didn't exactly get there, but... But you had an idea.
So my interpretation is that in speaking in tongues, it's one language of the Holy Spirit, but every different person in terms of language interpreted it the same way.
Right, so that's quite cool. So it wasn't just speaking in tongues. There was an interpretation where someone understood what was being said, which was quite cool. And I think also what we see is afterwards, Peter gets up, and this fisherman suddenly addresses this crowd with immense boldness, which was quite supernatural actually as well. Okay, so we'll move to group number two, Peter and Cornelius. You guys are number one still, eh? Come on, sorry guys, sorry. Okay, you guys number two. Okay, good. Okay. Yes, Judy. All right, so with the verses talk about Peter spending time with Cornelius and his household, okay? So what was happening at the time when this in these particular verses?
He was talking to a group of both Jews and Gentiles. So it was a combination. It wasn't just one or the other. It was a combination of both that he was talking to.
All right, so Peter was speaking to Jews and Gentiles. What for me was interesting is that right in the middle precursor to it, he's busy preaching and now suddenly this happens. It wasn't like there was some precursor to it, though he's busy preaching and now suddenly these people start speaking in tongues. Okay, do you guys want to have a go? Oh, you also group two. Yeah, there we go. So who spoke in tongues? Okay, so the Gentiles spoke in tongues, that's right. So this was quite unusual at that time, but it was the first situation where suddenly Gentiles were also speaking in tongues. Awesome, thank you. Okay, this group, Michael, how did they receive this gift?
So they received the Holy Spirit, and then from that the gift flowed.
Okay. Great, so here again, similar to that first passage, we hear that the Holy Spirit fell on all who were there. So there was something quite supernatural about that particular event. Right, and you guys here, was tongues the only expression of that? Okay, so all who were listening, yeah. Yeah, okay. That is quite interesting. And the fact that it was all is also quite interesting. Everyone who was there, it wasn't just one or two of them. Thanks, Heath. All right, so just again, was it just the gift of tongues that was experienced in that particular meeting?
It says, and praising God.
Okay. Right. You guys are very good students, right? Interesting for me, it doesn't just say speaking in tongues, and it's a little bit unclear, I guess, whether everyone spoke in tongues or everyone praised and spoke in tongues, or maybe some of them were praising and some were speaking in tongues. Not clear, but essentially both of them happened together. Right. Okay, cool. All right, the youngsters at the back, eh? Musa, you must be the youngest of them all, eh? Okay, so Musa, the next one, we're now speaking about Paul and some Ephesians. So just give us some context to this particular passage.
So there was a group of 12 men who were meeting in Ephesus. They all spoke in tongues. Paul laid hands on them, then they spoke in tongues. And in addition to that, they prophesied.
Right, thanks, Musa. So I think what is interesting here is that Paul was on mission, right? He was busy. He was out trying to convert more people, tell people about the gospel. And he came across these guys that were believers. Okay? I just want to ask Phil in the corner here. I hope you've been doing your homework. Good. Okay, so who were these guys? We hear the believers, just a little bit of background. Who were they, do you think?
I think they were quite new believers. They had been baptized, I think a water baptism, but they weren't aware of the Holy Spirit. And so that was a bit more context.
Okay, great. So what Phil's saying is that they were believers. So it's clear that they'd been following John before. And now they're suddenly hearing a little bit more. They hadn't heard John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance. And now they're suddenly hearing a little bit more. They hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. It's unclear whether they'd actually heard about Jesus as well. But very quickly, they believe. And then something happens. Okay, you guys, how did they receive this gift?
So, obviously, through the authority of the Holy Spirit, through Paul, when he laid his hands on them, the 12 of them, yeah. Right.
So, I think what Sav says is good, is it's all of them. But interestingly here, this is the first time we see someone laying hands on these Gentiles, or not these Gentiles, these believers, and then they started speaking in tongues. But the first time of those three examples, and that was how Paul obviously felt led in that moment. All right, so last one. Who's it going to be? Are you guys ready? Come on. Okay, so the question is, did they only speak in tongues or did they do something else?
No, they didn't only speak in tongues. They prophesied.
Yes, well done. Okay, well done, guys. All right, so interesting, in that context, it was speaking in tongues and prophecy as well. And it also doesn't say whether everyone spoke in tongues and everyone prophesied, but we know that they were both present. Okay, so that's some context. I'm not going to try and interpret that more. That's just what the Bible has to say. Yes. Yes, sure. So the first one, if you want to write those down, the first one is Acts 2, verse 1 to 7. So that's the upper room. The second one is Acts 10, 44 to 48, that's Peter and Cornelius. And then the third one is Acts 19, 1 to 7. That's Paul and in Ephesus. All right, so for me what was interesting is that in each case the context was different. And actually how people spoke in tongues, how they actually got to that point was different. In one case it was laying of hands, another in the middle of preaching, and another they're just sitting together in the upper room and suddenly there's this amazing experience. So I think that's quite informative for us, that there's not necessarily a formula for speaking in tongues or receiving the Spirit. It came in different ways. I think that's helpful. But I think what is also helpful is just to know that in the early church, it seems to be quite a common expression. Well, certainly in a number of cases, tongues was experienced. So it wasn't something that was like people were freaking out with, as we see the Paul and others preaching. It was something that would become quite common by the end of Corinthians, which we're going to focus on now. All right, so we're going to go now to Corinthians between chapters 12 to 14. We've been sitting there for a few weeks now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus specifically on the verses that speak about tongues. And then all thing that I'm doing is just hiding you to say, what about this? Please just raise your hand. I'm happy to try and answer that the best I can, but I think the idea is we want to interpret what is being said as clearly and as accurately as we can. All right, so we're going to start off with 1 Corinthians 12, verses 10 to 11. And you'll see as we go along, I've highlighted some key points that I think I want us to take note of. All right, so this is what Paul says. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay, so I think a few points that as I've underlined, the first one is that it's one of the supernatural gifts. There are a whole range of them, okay? And who chooses who gets those gifts? The Holy Spirit decides. Okay, so he alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay, so it's not for us, it's not up to us, it's up to the Spirit. Okay, that's what I want to bring out from that section. All right, we're now going to go on to the next passage, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 to 30. That's when it gets mentioned the next time. Here are some of the parts, speaking parts of the body, God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. There it is again. Then 29, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And he says, of course not. Which is quite interesting because he could have said, of course, yes, because we all have the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't. He again is going back to the Spirit decides, which I think is quite important here, talking specifically about the gift of tongues. Okay. All right, so what I want to do now is I want to go into the meat of Paul's teaching about tongues, and that's in 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll see a few other things start coming out that start giving more clarity or maybe making us a little bit more confused. But let's work through those verses together. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 5, and let's start off with verse 1. Let love be your highest goal. So what should be our highest goal? Love. Guys at the back, you're still awake. Highest goal? Love. Okay, good. But you should also desire the special abilities gives. Yes, well done. Okay, very good. Glad you're listening. And then it says, especially the gift of or the ability to prophesy. Okay, so that's interesting. This is, I think, the first time Paul's saying that there's one gift in particular that is really, really you should look to have and desire. And we're going to be speaking about prophecy in one of the later, that's not mine. Tones, where's Tones? I'll give that back to you, hey? Now, I think Rich and Sheila are going to be speaking to us about prophecy in a few weeks' time, which will be really good. All right, but I think what's important here for me is that Paul encourages believers to desire the special abilities, okay? So in other words, there's something about the Holy Spirit that he can give to us, and he says desire it. And that would include gifts of tongues, prophetic words, there's a whole range of things, and he says desire them. Why would he say that we should desire them? Andrew, do you know why would Paul say that we should desire these gifts? Yeah, I think that's important. They're important for us, but more importantly, as you say, they're for the church. They're for the building up of the church. So if we look at the people around us and saying we want what's best for everyone in this room, then we should be asking God to equip us to be able to serve and love each other well. So I think that's important. All right, let's move to verse 2. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it'll all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So there are a few things here that are, for me, are a little bit different in a way to the way when Paul speaks about the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. The first here is when we read 1 Corinthians 12, he says that these gifts are for the benefit of the whole church, right? So the understanding is someone would bring a gift of tongues. Ideally, there'd be an interpretation. And then who benefits, the speaker or the church? The body, okay, quite clear. But now he's saying that this is, and if we read verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. So this is talking about something for us. It's as we speak, it's something for us inside. So it seems in a way there's a little bit, he's talking about something a little bit different in my view than what he was speaking about previously. And he says it's talking only to God. This is to God, whereas whenever I've seen someone speak or bring a gift of tongues, it's speaking to the church with God speaking something through them. Can you see a little bit of a difference here? Then he's saying speaking by the power of the Spirit. Okay, that seems to be the same. Either way, whether it's a gift brought to the church or whether one's praying, it's speaking by the power and what this is. Right, so with our minds, we're not going to understand what we're saying if we're speaking in tongues in this way. So for me, my interpretation of this, and it'd be maybe good to ask some questions here, but my interpretation of this is that Paul's saying that there is a gift of tongues or a way that we can speak in tongues that we are to desire, but that is actually for ourselves as opposed to the church. It's something that benefits us. And it seems to be a little bit different to the speaking of tongues, where it's a gift and then there's an interpretation of that. Okay, so I just want to leave that there for now. All right, let's go on to verse 5. Then this is interesting for me, because Paul has said that he wishes that all should prophesy, right? Remember that. Now he says, I wish you could all speak in tongues. So does that like a... I think he's saying that this is a good thing, right? And he's speaking about this speaking in tongues where it's a speaking to God, right? And it's strengthening himself personally. That's the kind of context. He says, I wish you all speak in tongues. But then he goes on to say even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So again, he's saying that prophecy is better because it's for the church as opposed to tongues, which is for yourself. And this is where I got to say, I thought I had it all wrapped up. And then he goes on to say, yeah, in the same context, but someone who speaks in tongues should interpret it for the strengthening of the body. So it's like, why is he saying that now if this is just about us with our quiet times or just our prayer language? So this is where things become a little bit confusing. For me, it would be nicer if he'd wrapped it up smoothly and said, you know, this is just a personal thing I'm talking about. You can all have it, and it's different to the other speaking of tongues. But he's not as clear as that, right? Maybe you guys can see it a little bit more clearly. But for me, there's still some lack of clarity there. And I think that's okay. And I think that's why we have different interpretations as well, because there's not so much clarity in some of these verses. Okay. All right, so let's move on from there. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 14, 6 to 14. Sorry, this is a bit of a long one, but Paul's having a little bit of a go here at people that are speaking in tongues. And from what I read into this, it sounds like speaking of tongues was a bit all over the place in the early Corinthians church. And he's actually needing to correct them a bit here. So let's read through this together and see what he's saying. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? Good question. Eh? Would it help them much? No. But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that'll be helpful. Good point. Okay. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or harp. Okay, so he's saying or no one will recognize the melody. Okay, so he's saying there's some clarity needed. If there's just a big noise, that's not very helpful. I love this next one. And if the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called to battle? Have you guys watched those old films when there's a bugler and suddenly all the troops have to advance because now it's time to attack? Or the bugler pipes and then everyone has to retreat. But imagine if the bugler had just been shot or something and he was stumbling around and playing different notes. It would be chaos, right? Okay, so he's drawing attention to the fact that I think in tongues, it can actually just be unhelpful because if it's not interpreted. Because if there's no clarity, like, what is all this noise about? What am I supposed to do with it? And I think that's the concern that he's speaking about here. He says it's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you are saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will be a foreigner to someone who speaks it. And the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. Not very helpful, like no one's understanding, nothing. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Okay, so I think there seemed to be a bit of a fixation here about speaking in tongues. Lots of people were clearly speaking in tongues, okay, and it was becoming a bit chaotic. So what he's saying in this particular context, and I think it's important, the context was probably lots of people speaking in tongues, chaos. He says, rather, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Okay, and what that takes the focus of is it's not about me, and I've got this amazing ability, look at me. It's really about how can I use the gifts that the Spirit gives to strengthen others. And that's so much what Jesus is about. It's about us reflecting his love to his people, right? And I think that is just so important. We must be careful that the gifts don't become about us. It really needs to be about the body of Christ. Okay. All right, so verse 13. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what is being said. All right, so he's not saying it's not a good thing if you speak in tongues. He's saying if you do speak in tongues, how amazing would it be if everyone else could understand? Because then if you're getting a word from God, others can understand what that is. Okay, so if any of you do speak in tongues, what Paul's saying is ask that you can interpret tongues. Because then it's similar to prophecy, because God wants to speak to the church, he can speak to you, and then you can actually know what it is that he wants to say to the church as well. Okay, so to those that have spoken. Then he finishes off by saying, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Okay. All right, so we're getting there. We're now going to shift across to verse 15 to 19. Thanks, Ndumiso. And this is where Paul gets to a bit of a contentious part. We understand that tongues can happen in the church. We've seen how it came about in different ways. But now he said, how should it be handled when people are together, like this, on a Sunday service? How should it be handled? So let's read together from verse 15. Well then, what should I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. That's a both, right? I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. Both. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? Fair enough, if you don't pray in tongues or sing in tongues and everyone's singing in tongues, I'm sure you'd feel like a real outsider. How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you are saying? You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. Okay. So just a few points there that really just struck out for me, and I hadn't seen them before. If we look to verse 15, he talks about praying in the Spirit. Previously, it's been about speaking in the Spirit. Okay. And Paul has said, if we speak in the Spirit, there needs to be a interpretation. When he's talking about praying in the Spirit, he doesn't say about there needs to be an interpretation here. This is about us praying to God. And he says, when I pray, Well, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words. So I think if this is how Paul did it, I think if anyone here has a gift of Spirit, if you can speak in tongues, there's nothing saying that you shouldn't be allowed to pray in church in tongues. It mustn't be a nuisance, but this is about you praying to God. It's not about bringing a message to the church. It's different. Okay. And then he also says, I will sing in the Spirit. So Paul sang in the Spirit. Okay? And again, he says that, but he doesn't just sing in the Spirit. Because imagine everyone just singing in the Spirit and there are people saying, Flip, what on earth's going on here? So he says, I will do both. So I think he's looking to the good of the church. But I think equally, if we're having a time of praise and worship and someone feels led to sing in the Spirit, let's not condemn them. Paul did it. And let's give room for that. We don't want tongues to become the main thing, but I think we must be open to that. Paul clearly was as well. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? Okay, so really, let's make sure that we are trying to be we're inclusive, and I don't think we've got any threat of this, guys. Like, this is not us here. We're not trying to say it's in worship. Right, Tones? All right, I think if anything, we need to be actually giving space to allow the Spirit to be at work here, and we're wanting to see the Spirit at work because we want to all be built up. Right, so let's do that. Okay. Right, then on to verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. And what I love about this really speaks to Paul's heart. His heart is for the church. And he is wanting to be helpful to the church. But what he's also saying, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Does Paul think that speaking in tongues is beneficial? I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So he's very thankful to God that he has this gift of tongues. So I think it's good to know that. So for him, it was something that was really valuable and important. So it's something we should take note of. All right, so we're getting to the end of this passage, and let's start wrapping up. So 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 28. And there's just 2 more sections we'll go through. Okay. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. I'm glad Paul does it for me. I don't have to summarize. Okay. So when you meet together, like we're doing now, one will sing. Stephen, you and Jessica got that job. Another will tell some special revelation God has given. Who's going to do that one? It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if someone had a special revelation of God. Wouldn't it be lovely if as you meet there is that special revelation? One will speak in tongues. We didn't have that today, but let's be open to that in the future. And another will interpret what is said. Maybe it's a person who's speaking in tongues, maybe it's going to be someone else. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Okay, so it's about putting the whole body at the center. No more than 2 or 3 should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. Okay, there's a lot of order here. This is not chaos. And that's, I guess, for our eldership as well, to make sure that we try and manage that well. And so hopefully we're going to hear more of the gifts of the Spirit, and it'll be our responsibility to make sure we're doing our best to make sure it's coordinated well, and yeah, we're not speaking over each other or anything like that. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. So just on that, one might then say, well, I speak in tongues, but I don't know if anyone in this body interprets. So can I just practically, can I just ask, has anyone in this church interpreted tongues before? Okay, so there are at least 3 people, maybe 4 people in this body that have the gift of interpretation of tongues. So therefore, there shouldn't be an excuse for if you have the gifts of tongues to be willing to share it. Okay, so it's good just to find out, because he says if there's no one, it's not a good idea. If there are people who can. All right, so to sum up then, the last verse I want to share, 1 Corinthians 14:39-40. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Because that's the one side we can go. The one side is like everyone speaking over each other. It's chaos. The other side is no ways. We're not having this. So he says, be centered in the middle. allow speaking of tongues, do it with interpretation, do it in a controlled way. Okay. But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I just want to give some of the elders an opportunity just to share one or two things. I just thought it's useful to speak what the word says, but testimonies are also quite helpful. So not long, guys, but I know a few of you indicated that you were happy to share. So who's going to come up first? Birthday girl, there we go. And by the way, you're allowed asking as many questions as you like from now on.
So when I was a teenager, probably grade 9 or 10, we had a youth meeting here in the hall, and somebody came to speak to us about tongues that evening, and I indicated that I really desired to be able to speak in tongues and was prayed for and received tongues, and have never used it publicly with the purpose of edifying the church and having somebody interpret in that way, but I use it as a private language with the Lord. And it's very helpful when I don't know how to pray for somebody. I don't pray out loud for them in tongues because that could, you know, intimidate them perhaps, but I will pray in my spirit for them, waiting to hear from God what revelation or in which direction or what words I could possibly use to encourage them or strengthen them or give them direction. But I have also found on two occasions that I've needed to actually really use it for a particular purpose. And so the one occasion I remember was quite recent. I was driving to visit a family member, a young man whose life has really kind of fallen to pieces, and he ended up at Oatlands in Howick, and which is a mental health facility that really facilitates your well-being and helping you find direction for your life and help and medication and whatever. And so on my way there, he's an unbeliever. I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray for this time I'm going to spend with him. But, and I actually didn't know what to pray. I was like, what must I say to him? You know, I'm so sorry. Must I ask him questions? Maybe he doesn't want to talk about what's going on. Or like, what do I do? Do I talk about Jesus? Is that too soon? Maybe that's not the right thing. And I was sort of churning, and I thought, no, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit, because I knew that my prayer language was my spirit groaning to the Lord, expressing what my words and my mind were unable to find. And so it was just me in the car, and I turned my music to do whatever he wanted to do in his life. And I don't, for this young man, for God to do whatever he wanted to do in his life. And I don't know what my spirit was saying to God, but I was declaring what had to be said in the spiritual realm, which is where our battle is, isn't it? And felt in the end to be quite forceful in my prayer. I've never felt that before. Like, the words just came and they were stronger and they were like more urgent, like I was declaring something that had to be said in the spiritual realm, and I don't know what I said. But I was talking to God. And after I'd prayed in tongues for him, arrived, and we had a lovely time of connection. And I know that he felt loved, and it's a journey that he's on with the Lord. The other experience that I had where tongues wasn't just me just sort of praying to God, it was a request that my parents had. We were traveling back from the beach. I was quite young, and our car, we had a history of bad cars, and at that stage, coming back from the South Coast, the car literally almost stopped. And we could only drive in first gear. And I imagine driving from like Port Shepston to Hilton in first gear. That's what we did. It was a second gear. And it was slow, and there weren't as many trucks back then, but the freeway was a scary place to be driving in second gear. And my dad, who had had a lovely holiday, was obviously feeling tense about coming back to work and ministry, and Lord, help me to, you know, get going again. And I just thought, God, we don't need this. We just don't need car troubles after a holiday coming home now, before he goes back into the ministry. And I didn't know how to pray, and my dad sort of leant back and he said, just pray, just pray. And I was like, oh, you know, and you can't pray for 2 or 3 hours. I don't know how long it took us to get home. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, please protect us. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, please protect us. Da, 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 da. You know, that you, once you've prayed it. So my dad knew that I'd been filled with the Spirit, and he said, just pray in tongues, Heather, just pray in tongues. And so I did, just, you know, in my heart and in my mind, the whole way home. And I remember it being quite an experience for me of feeling like God was just doing whatever had to be done in a spiritual realm, and we got home safely. And it was a profoundly moving experience for me with the Lord. And then obviously I use it in my quiet times and, as I said, praying for people. Yeah.
Thanks, Eddie. Renee, do you know how you want to, do you want to go first?
I just had a very practical experience this morning. We've got a bit of a crisis going on in family matters, and I woke up early having not really slept well, and I thought, just that heavy, heavy feeling of how are we going to get through this? How are we going to work through this? And I decided to go for a walk. So before six, I set off. And even as I was walking, I was still sort of feeling heavy and not knowing how we were going to work through this situation. And as I walked, I thought, this is the time when I really need to pray in tongues. I started slowly. I found, as it were. And by the time I got back to the house, praying in tongues, all of the, quite a long walk, maybe 3 Ks or something. And by the time I got back to the house, I had a much lighter sense. And it was just that, because I literally prayed the whole time in tongues and had no idea still how the problem is going to be solved, but felt a lot lighter about it. So I think sometimes the Lord intervenes in different sorts of ways.
Thanks, Renee.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I know I've spoken quite a lot when I've been here facilitating about the armor of God. And, you know, I think that is it's a really critical thing to put on the armor of God, because we're in a spiritual war. And so when it ends off by saying, pray in the Spirit. And so that to me is praying in tongues. And so I spend a lot of time in my quiet time doing that. When I was on the farm, I had a four-wheeler, and I used to go around the farm on it. And one of the things that really gave me joy was to sing in tongues, because nobody could hear me, and the bark was making a noise. But it was a wonderful experience, and so I think it's a, you know, I use it as a personal thing, as Heather was saying, in your prayer time, you often fail on what to pray. But then you can go into praying in tongues, knowing that you're praying what God wants you to pray. And I think that's the beauty of tongues for me in my life.
Thanks, Harvey.
So just really briefly, firstly, it's not just because the elders have spoken, it's not reserved for eldership, so firstly. Secondly, just really briefly on the Holy Spirit weekend in the Alpha course, Rob, Pam's husband and the father of Heath and the family. He prayed for me and I received that gift, but it was really just one or two words, you know, and then it developed later to more and more and more. And I've heard of other people who've desired it and asked God for it, and it's been a while before they received it. So I think the key for you as takeaways is desire the gift and ask for it, and then be open to it. I mean, there's no formula, but I would, if I were to give you advice, it would be desire it, because if you don't desire it, you most likely are not going to receive it, and be open to it, releasing like your control. Sometimes we can desire something, but same as me with those just one or two words, it's developed into a whole more deeper thing, because actually I'm just open to God just moving and working. So if we closed, like if we're uncertain or a little bit, if we hold back, then that could prevent that, you know. But lastly for me is that there's no condemnation. You're not better than if you do pray in tongues than if you don't. And that's very important for you to know that.
I think just to wrap up and underline what we've been sharing, so tongues in our personal space, is just the most wonderful gift that God gives us when we just don't have the words and we're overcome. And so I'm sure most of you know this verse, but it underlines what we've all been sharing. This is where Paul's talking about sharing in God's glory, but also in his suffering. And so in our suffering, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for us. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will.
Thanks, Alana. All right, so I think hopefully that's been helpful, just hearing a few different perspectives. And maybe just as we end, just what Tony encouraged everyone in the beginning of the service was that some of you might just be taking a little step into obedience and following God and the flow of His Spirit. But actually He wants us to be fully in. And I think this is part of walking in the Spirit as well, is that we can just say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to put all these barriers around what I'm going to let you do and not do. And I think what we're wanting for this church is to be fully open to what God wants to do in each of our hearts and as a body. So, and that requires us just saying, God, here I am. Won't you give us, each of us, the gifts that you have for us? And we desire these gifts for the good of our relationship with you and the good of the body of Christ together. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, it's been so good just to hear a bit more about you today. It'd be so much easier some ways if we could just speak to you and you'd speak directly back. And if things were maybe a little bit clearer in the Bible. But we thank you for the direction we do have. And we thank you, Lord, that you also say that your Spirit will lead us into all truth. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that as people walk away from today, that you would continue just to lead them into all truth. I pray for each of them that this message would settle and that, Lord, you would encourage them to press on into a stronger and closer relationship with you day by day. And we just pray for this church, Lord, that this church would be a church that is open to your Spirit, a church that is led by your Spirit. Lord, a church where your gifts are present. So people come here and say, this is not about the people. God is present here. God's Spirit is present here, and He's the one that can transform lives. So Jesus, we just want to thank you again as we close for dying for us. We thank you, Lord, that if it wasn't for your death on the cross, we would have no relationship with you. We would have no hope. We would be without a future. And Lord, thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit, that it would be better for us, that your Spirit was here, that could be put through us. In Jesus' name, amen.